It's a privilege to be here today on a very special Remembrance Sunday, made even more special by the fact that we remember exactly 100 years since the end of the First World War. As Andy said, we're going to be looking at Matthew 5, verse 43 to 48, entitled, Love Your Enemy. If you've been here during the previous parade services, we've been focusing on the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, sermon that's ever been given. It was given by Jesus to a group of his followers on a mountain, unsurprisingly, just outside Jerusalem. And it's not a fluffy sermon. It's not a nice sermon. It's not one which is going to make you feel better. It's a real challenging sermon. And it's as challenging today as it was when Jesus first gave it. As we look, there we go, at World War I, some facts and figures. As I'm sure you already know, it's one of the most deadly wars in history. There were some 5.7 million Allied soldiers who lost their lives in those trenches. Not only that, there were some 10 million civilians who also lost their lives. But perhaps there's another group of people who sometimes we don't necessarily think about. There were also some 4 million enemy soldiers who died. 4 million soldiers fighting against the Allied troops. And perhaps we don't like to think about them. Because if we think about them, we have to remember they were people. We have to remember that they had friends, that they had family, that they had people who loved them. And that is what Jesus is challenging us with today. If we go back to the passage that we're looking at, I'll read it again. It's a little small on the screen. You've heard it said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Loving others is not easy. It's not easy to love those people that we're supposed to love. Parents. Everybody here has parents. How difficult is it sometimes to love your parents? When your parents are telling you to do something that you don't want to do. When you're being told it's time for bed, or tidy your room, or do your homework. Or, really, are you sure you want to travel halfway around the world for that new job? How easy is it to get cross and grumpy with them? If your parents, I suspect you've had it. If your children, I suspect you've had it. To my absolute shame, the number of times that I argued with my parents. I'd get myself in a right strop. I'd be having a hissy fit. I know it doesn't look like I have hissy fits, but when I was young, I was having a hissy fit. And to my absolute horror, I said to my mum, Mum, I hate you. How difficult is it to love those who we're supposed to love? What about our friends? How difficult is it to love our friends? How many times have you argued with your very best friend? How many times have you said to them, I don't want to talk to you anymore? I've fallen out with more friends than I care to imagine on the football field, or on the badminton court, or on the tennis court. I happened to be playing tennis in school against one of my best friends. We were both fairly good at tennis, and we were having a bit of a very close match. And if memory serves me correctly, I actually managed to steal a set. At which point my friend was immensely annoyed, absolutely incensed with the mistake that he'd made. He took his tennis racket and he hurled it across the tennis court. Unfortunately, it was aimed straight at me. He never intended to throw it at me, but that's the direction this tennis racket came. As it sailed across the net, I saw it coming, so I was able to jump out the way. Unfortunately, as it clipped the top of the net, the trajectory changed. The consequence of that was a massive gash in my shin where it hit me. Loving your friend when your friend has just caused some significant pain is not very easy. And what about our family? We talked about parents, but what about the rest of the family as well? I can talk about Catherine, Isaac and Joseph because they're not here. probably best I didn't say that. they're parading in Sippenham. But actually, how many times have I fallen out with those guys? How many times have I got cross with Catherine for doing something or not doing something? How many times have you got cross with, or how many times have I got cross with the boys? Again, I'm the one going, tidy your bedroom, and they're not doing it. My mum had a wonderful saying. My mum used to say to me, Matthew Scottney, I do not like you at the moment, but I will always love you. And perhaps that's true of our friends. Perhaps that's true of our family. Perhaps that's true of our parents. But what about our neighbours? Sometimes it's very difficult to love our neighbours. When they park across your drive. When they don't put their bins away when you want them to put their bins away. We have a gentleman down our road. He has a very, very nice car. It's a very, very big car, and it's a very, very expensive car. And one day, he parked outside the house, and he must have parked probably, about that far from the pavement, so yeah, a significant distance. He made it very difficult for the cars to travel down our road. I walked past it every day for 2 weeks. I got more and more frustrated, and in the end, I had to pray for a touch of grace from God, because the things I was going to say to this gentleman when he arrived back were probably not something that I can repeat. I was out in the garden, I was doing the digging, and the gentleman in question arrived, and there he is with his nice car. So I stood up straight, and I said, I do like your car, it's a very nice colour, because that's probably about the safest thing I could say to him. He explained to me, yes, it was a really nice car, but unfortunately, the road that he lived in, which was 3 or 4 streets down, there were lots of cars, and as a result, he didn't want to park it there in case it got stretched. So not only was he parking outside my house, he didn't even live in the road! And we have to love our neighbours. But the thing is, it's not about loving our neighbours. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus didn't say, just love your neighbours. The Old Testament version was, you've heard it said, love your neighbours and hate your enemies. But Jesus turned it on his head. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. But who's my enemy? Well, it's pretty safe to say that none of us were in the trenches 100 years ago. None of us heard the gunfire. None of us saw the first tanks ever in the world come over the top of the trenches. None of us were shot at. None of us had to deal with anything along those lines. I certainly wasn't there. But I do remember the Falkland Islands, the Falklands conflict. I remember sitting there listening to the news saying that we were at war. And I remember thinking, my goodness me, what if my dad gets called up? What if dad has to go, just like happened in World War I and II? I also remember the Iraq and the Iran war. The battles, the fights, the news reports. I remember the day that the planes hit the Twin Towers. Potentially a day that changed the world. And I remember the day that terrorists hit London and blew up buses and tubes while people were travelling home. But I wasn't there. I've never been shot at. I've never had a gun held to my head. I've never been stopped at knife point. I've never been beaten up. Yes, these are our enemies, but are they truly my enemy? So who is my enemy? Maybe it's those people who you just don't like. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes it happens. You walk into a room and you just don't click with that person. Perhaps they don't hold the door open for you and they slam it in your face. Perhaps you say good morning and they completely blank you. Perhaps there's just a distinct lack of chemistry and you think, I don't really like you. Maybe it's your arch rival. There must be an arch rival for most people. It's that person, perhaps, who's got the armful of badges, and you really wish you had the armful of badges. It's the drummer who can drum absolutely perfectly, and you keep missing a beat. Perhaps it's the friend in school who always gets 10 out of 10 in the test, and you get 9 out of 10. Perhaps it's a person in work who always seems to get the thank you, always seems to be brilliant in the eyes of the boss. When I was growing up, I used to do some triple jump. And I was involved in quite a lot of competitions. And I had an arch rival in the triple jump. His name was Tom, and we competed against each other quite often. In the county championships, we were again together with each other. In triple jump, you have three jumps initially. If you're in the top six, you go on to have another three jumps. And Tom's first jump, he beat his personal best. It was, in fact, one of the best jumps in the entire time I'd seen him jump. And since from afterwards as well, it was one of the best jumps he'd ever done. He went straight to the top of the leaderboard, and my first jump was a mitigated disaster, and I was at the foot of the table. I just about scraped into the top three, which was fantastic. Tom didn't get anywhere near beating his best, but nobody else got anywhere near him. My fourth jump, I got a little closer. My fifth jump, I got a little bit closer. Tom finished his sixth jump. He was strutting round like he was the champion already. I was getting slightly annoyed about this fact, and I ran down the runway as fast as I possibly could. I hit the board, and I did the very best jump I have ever done. I have never beaten it since, and I beat Tom by 1 centimetre. Fantastic. But Tom was not overly happy about this. Tom duly stood on my foot. In fact, he didn't stand on my foot. He stamped on my foot. And when you're wearing running spikes and somebody stands on your foot, it really hurts. Arch rival? Possibly an enemy at that point in time? Essentially. What about those people you've fallen out with? What about those people who've broken your heart, whether it's boyfriends or girlfriends, whether it's friends who perhaps you don't want to talk to anymore? Perhaps it's somebody in work who stole your job. Perhaps it's somebody who lied about you, told untruths about you, got you in trouble. I'm sure, again, we have people like that. Maybe they're our enemy. Maybe it's family members who've told you something that you didn't want to hear, and therefore you're not talking to them, because actually it was true and you didn't like what they were saying. Maybe it's those people who persecute others, and they say, we see and hear it on the news all of the time. Christians around the world are being persecuted. They're being arrested, they're being tortured, they're being put in jail. In some instances, they're being killed as well. Perhaps it's the people who are doing the persecution that we don't love, or that are our enemies. Perhaps it's those people who've committed horrendous crimes. Perhaps it's murder. Perhaps it's assault. Perhaps it's abuse. The thing with today's passage is that Jesus is saying we need to love all of these people. Again, if we go back to the passage and have a look at it, the question is obviously, well, why do we need to love these people? Why is Jesus telling me I need to love my enemy? And it's written in Matthew 5:43. To 48. So I'm going to read it again, just so we can listen to those words once more. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. If we call ourselves Christians, we are called to be different. We are called not to be the same as everybody else. And as the passage says, if we only love our friends, well, everybody does that. If we only love those people who love us, everybody does that. But we're called to be different from all those people who are not Christians. Jesus calls us to be different. He calls us to be a light in the world. And if you were here in the last parade service, we talked about letting your light shine into the world. We're called to be that light. We are called to be like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to live like Jesus would have lived. And that's the question. Jesus said these words, didn't he? Love your enemy. But Jesus didn't just live those words. Sorry, Jesus didn't just say those words. He lived those words. Jesus was betrayed by one of his friends. Jesus was falsely accused of crimes he didn't commit. Jesus was found guilty of those crimes. His friends deserted him. One of his friends even said, I don't even know who he is. He was beaten. He was spat on. He was mocked. He was stripped. He was led out and nailed to a cross. He was hung on the cross to die. Jesus, the Son of God, hanging on that cross. He didn't say, Father, send your angels on these horrible people to kill them all. He didn't say, Father, take your revenge. Send your holy fire down and wipe this horrible population out. As Jesus was dying on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Jesus lived the example that he was telling us. He told us to be different. He tells us to love our enemies, and that's exactly what he did. And as we finish today, we have a challenge. It's become a bit of a tradition having a challenge for you guys in parade services. And the challenge is a very simple challenge. The challenge is exactly the same challenge that Jesus laid down during the Sermon on the Mount those 2,000 odd years ago. The challenge for us today is to love our enemies. Doesn't matter who the enemies are. It doesn't matter whether it's a soldier. It doesn't matter whether it's your best friend because they've hurt you and started talking about you behind your back. Jesus is telling us to love our enemies. That is a really, really tough challenge. And the bottom part of the verse, which I'm not sure you can actually see on the screen, it says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So maybe that's our starting point. Maybe our starting point for loving our enemies is to pray for them.